Pastor Nick, your words have come back to haunt you, haven't they? Scoot in. You love people. All that stuff. Let's begin in prayer. Father God, we are grateful. Lord, and we are in awe of your grace and your mercy. That is an old grace and an ancient mercy and an ancient love. Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes, that by your Spirit you would grant us eyes to see the love with which you love us. Lord, we need new eyes. We need illumination by your word. Lord God, we need new eyes to see the people in our communities, that we would love them relentlessly. God, that we would care for them as people and not just numbers to be won. Lord, we need new eyes to see your gospel and to understand the gospel. Father, I pray that in this group that is here tonight, that the gospel would be ingrained in them, that they would understand it, that it would flow from their lips and from the overflow of their hearts as they feast upon it daily, and they go to what is of first importance and delight in that, that Christ has died for sins. I thank you that we have the privilege and honor of proclaiming your gospel, and that we would be agents of such glorious news. And may we be faithful and worthy servants of this trust that you have given us. So Father, we are asking to receive from you. And may we receive with all joy and gladness for Christ's sake. Amen. Last week, we closed with the challenging words from Jeremiah Burroughs. These words: "Has the name of God been made great by you? Have you done anything to lift up this glorious name of God in the place wherein God has set you?" Which would be here. "It may be that you have not thought that this was your work, but this is the work that God expects from you, that you should give yourself up to study by all the means that you possibly can to lift up God's name and deny your own name. No matter if that is cast into the dirt, so long as the name of God is lifted up. Have this resolution," he invited us. "Have this resolution. I am convinced that the name of God is infinitely glorious. And therefore, for the time to come, through his grace, whatever becomes of me, yet I will do what I can to lift up his name." You should give yourself up to study by all the means that you possibly can, to lift up God's name and deny your own name, no matter if that is cast into the dirt, so long as the name of God is lifted up. That is what we are doing tonight. And that is the work to which we have been called as new natured children of God. We are going to give ourselves up tonight to discussion and to study by all the means we possibly can to lift up the name of God and deny our own. More so, as a church body, it has been laid upon us to give ourselves up in lifting up God's name among the people around us this weekend. This Saturday, specifically, we are going to be doing this with door-to-door evangelism. That's what last week is setting up. This is what this week is about. This Saturday, write this time, these times down. You need to know this. This Saturday, from 9:30 a.m. till about 12:30 p.m., we are going to be proclaiming the gospel locally here in this community around us. So at 9:30, you need to be here by 9:30. 9:30, we will begin in prayer. 9:30 to 10, we will pray. At 10, we will leave. We will go up into teams and groups, and we'll explain that later, how that's going to work. And you'll go out to the surrounding community and share the gospel with them. And we'll do that from 10 to 12. And then at 12, we'll meet back here, and then we'll debrief. We expect everyone to be here. We expect you all to be here this Saturday. We expect those of you who are not here, people who aren't here, We expect them to be here as well. And you will go up. You will knock on doors. You will talk to people personally. And you will share the gospel with them. Strangers. Now, in hearing that, how many of you would like to be honest and just say, that makes me a little bit nervous? Okay, wow. That makes everyone a little bit nervous. How many of you are already trying to rehearse the Romans Road in your mind and what you're going to say first? Anybody doing that already? Your mind's just going ahead and working. It's like, okay, do I start with 3:23, 5:8? Where's it at? 6:20. Okay, I got to remember the 9 and 10, Hebrews 10, 9 and 10. Is anybody doing that? Trying to rehearse, okay, how am I going to get started? What am I going to say? Are they going to like me? You know, do I ride a bicycle? What do I do? And coming up to the door, how do I get there? You know, we're going through and we're saying, okay, what ways, what things do I say? How many of you already have an excuse for not coming? You've already worked through that and said, thank goodness I'm not. Okay, some of you already have an excuse. Is it a valid excuse? Would you like to raise your hand? I doubt it. You can take that before God. But if those concerns and those things are running through your mind right now and you are nervous and you are already sweating that nervous sweat and you are already coming up with excuses and everything, let me just interject some truth into all your objections and concerns and self-worry. Turn to Matthew 28:18-20. We need these words. We desperately need these words. It's obvious. We all need these words. In Matthew 28:18-20, this is the eternally relevant word of God. The Spirit of God is speaking these words, which means this, West Salem Baptist Church, the Spirit of God speaks these words to us tonight and does every single day. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Oh, that we would have faith to believe that. We need to believe that. We need faith to believe those words. All authority in heaven and on earth is Christ's, and He is with us always, never leaving and never forsaking, always going before and always hemming in behind. He is always there and couched in the absolute sovereignty of God. An absolute sovereign authority of Christ and the continuing, never ceasing presence of Christ. This verse, we see absolute sovereign authority of Christ. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Behold, I am with you always. So we have couched in this continuing, never-ceasing presence of Christ. In this, we find the command to go. That is the resting place of evangelism. That is freeing, is it not? That is freeing because we see that evangelism and success in evangelism, which I'm sure is why we're nervous, in a sense, is wrapped up in the sovereign grace of God. Go, therefore, all authority, continuing presence. Go, therefore, in the midst of that. Go, therefore, wrapped up in all my rule. This is important for all of us who are struggling, all of us who raised our hands. This is highly important for us. You must understand this. And you have heard the sovereignty of God faithfully proclaimed every single day, every single week. You have heard that faithfully proclaimed. It is important. We must understand God's sovereignty in salvation and evangelism. Or evangelism will be burdensome news instead of good news. J.I. Packer, in The Sovereignty of God and Evangelism, writes these words. He says, so far from making evangelism pointless, the sovereignty of God in grace is the one thing that prevents evangelism from being pointless. For it creates the possibility, indeed the certainty, that evangelism will be fruitful. Evangelism will be fruitful. Were it not for the sovereign grace of God, evangelism would be the most futile and useless enterprise that the world has ever seen. Do you get that? Were it not for the sovereign grace of God, evangelism would be the most futile and useless enterprise that the world has ever seen, and there would be no more complete waste of time under the sun than to preach the Christian gospel. Now, if you saw what followed in his book on this page, he begins by talking about just the nature of man's heart, which when you see that and you understand the nature of our depravity and man's just sinful, utterly sinful and unable condition to come to God, then you must rely on the sovereign grace of God. We must rely on it in every single area of evangelism. The good news for us is this, that because of the sovereign grace of God, our time under the sun this Saturday, and every day for that matter, will not be a waste of time. It won't be. It will never be a waste of time. The word of God is going to go out. It is going to go out. And how many times has the word of God gone out and returned void? Never. Not once. Ever since day one, when God spoke out of nothing, into nothing, and life and light and all these things happened, it's never returned void. There's a great track record for God's word going out. Is there not? Undefeated. It always accomplishes its purpose. It's never failed. Not yet. Child of God, it didn't fail in you either. It's accomplished its purpose, and it always will. So tonight, here's what we want to do. We want to serve you in this evangelism and what we're going to do. We want to help you out with any questions you might have in regards to door-to-door evangelism or personal evangelism in general. We want to do this. We want to serve you. So this time will be spent. Pastor Nick, Pastor Eddie, is Pastor Marshall in here? Is he? Pastor Marshall, come on up. Here's what we want to do. I want to put these guys' collective wisdom to use for your good and for your benefit. And so here's what we're going to do. You can ask any question you want to ask about evangelism. You might have some concerns. We are aware of concerns. We've tried to hash all these out and all of our own objections to the gospel and concerns that we have and different struggles. And we want to help you out by doing that. If you want to grab some chairs, you know, and are you nervous sweating too? I'm really nervous sweating. All right. Okay. Yes. So what we're going to do is you can ask them any question. I'll come down there and, you can ask your questions. So raise your hand when you have one, and I'll come to you, and we'll just kind of go in order like that, and then they'll answer, and we'll try to serve you in any way we can. So that's the aim of tonight. Everybody got it? Yes, we're good with this?
You're going to go get their questions, and I'm going to pass the microphone to whoever's going to answer. Is that right?
Pretty much, if you want to do that.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, and we'll conclude in prayer with that. All right? Okay.
You don't have to stand as my bodyguard anymore, Marsh. I think we're amongst friends. Hey, I want you to open your Bibles tonight, beloved, to Isaiah 55 real quickly. And I want us to take a look at this because it's a picture of what Brett was talking about at the end of the things that he said. And I want you just to look at this, put eyes on it with me real quick. And let's read through it and just see the truth of it. Are we going to just crawl four chairs over there? Is that what we're going to do?
Sure.
Okay. But look what it says here. He says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, the fruit of the flesh, shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Here's the picture of what Isaiah is talking about. He's talking about the power of the word of God to bring forth salvation in the hearts of men, to bring forth salvation in the hearts of men and women who respond to the truth of the word of God. Now, Brett was talking a little bit about just the idea of going out and sharing the gospel with people, and it kind of makes us nervous. I want you to think about this. Beloved, we believe in the sovereignty of God, right? We believe in the sovereignty of God? Do we believe in the sovereignty of God? Then here's what we believe. That the conversations that we're going to have on this Saturday were preordained by God before the foundation of the world. We're not just going to go to random people. These are people, and these conversations have been predestined before the foundation of the world. Right? It's true. So don't let there be a great deal of, you know, fear and angst upon you. Instead, walk in that knowledge and that comfort and that thought that I'm going somewhere where God has ordained for me to go. I'm going to talk to people whom God has ordained for me to speak to. I'm going to talk to people whom God has ordained that I would speak the gospel to. God's word will accomplish its purpose. For some, you know, it will be a rejection of the word of God. But for others, for those upon whom God has placed his eternal love, it's going to be life. It's going to be salvation. And so here's the thing. We're not looking to decision people on Saturday, right? Let's just take that out of the equation right now. We're not looking to decision people. We are looking to proclaim the gospel to people, to call them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And we're counting on the work of God and His Holy Spirit to bring them to saving faith. Okay? So we're not trying to decision people, but we do want to be faithful in the proclamation of the gospel. So, did everybody get one of these on your way in? Everybody get one of these? Tell them what I mean by decision people. We're not trying to get people, we're not trying to get results. All right, that's not the idea. Our deal here is we don't want to be able to come back and like walk in, you know, and you've got like six notches on your belt. I got six people to pray. Well, that's great, but if those six people weren't truly saved, what did you accomplish? Six notches in your belt, right? It's worse. They think, yeah, they've got a false sense of security. So that is not what we're looking for. We're not trying to twist people's arms. But here's the thing. You know, think about it like this. This is not really that hard. I know some of y'all are like really afraid of this, but you don't need to be. You really don't need to be afraid of this. Think about this now, okay? If you're saved, you should know the gospel, right? And when we come here, what do? We proclaim the gospel. We exalt God in the expository preaching of the gospel. We do it in our Sunday school classes. We sing songs that magnify Christ in the gospel, right? I mean, this is all stuff that is ingrained in you whether you realize it or not. How many times have you been riding down the road and you hear a song on the radio that you haven't heard in 20 years and you remember all the words to it? Has that happened to anybody? Or, you know, 10 years if you're younger than that. Has that happened to anybody? Happens to me all the time, right? In fact, my wife will look at me and be like, how do you know that? I'm like, I don't know. It's just like in my head. Okay, so here's the thing. A lot of the things that you're afraid of talking about, they're already in you. You just need to let them out. All right? Having said that, however, I want you to look at this sheet that we have, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Our intention is not to give you this so that you memorize it like some EE presentation. Okay? In other words, I don't want you to go to the front door and be like, hi, my name is Tabby Sheeler. I'm from West Salem Baptist Church. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? Yes or no? If yes, go to B. I don't want you to do that. That's not our intention, okay? The intention is for you, this is what you're doing. You are taking the good news of the gospel to people who need to hear the good news of the gospel. Okay? That's all you're doing. You're telling somebody about the great love that you have found in Christ, the great deliverance that has come through Jesus Christ. You are speaking to them about the gospel. You're just going to talk to them about the gospel. Now, what do you need to talk about? Well, there are some things that you need to talk about if you're going to talk to them about the gospel. And those are the things that we've written down here. I want you to familiarize yourself with these things. I want you to think them through. Not that you memorize, number one, God is absolutely holy, sovereign creator. He has an absolute right to demand human obedience. No response. Every man is sinful in rebellion against God, depraved. That's not what we want you to do. But there are some things, some elements of the gospel, beloved, that you need to be familiar with. So take a look at this with me real quickly, okay? And I underlined some things, and I failed to underline some things on the last bullet point, so I want you to underline them on your own. But the center of the gospel is this. It's what God has done. Okay? It's what God has done to save sinners from the justice of His divine wrath. Here's what I want you to understand or remember about this. When you're going... Lots of times what you're going to hear from people when you begin to talk to them about the gospel is they're going to give you something that they have done to make themselves acceptable to God. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not what I have done or something that I have accomplished or some way that I've made myself acceptable to God. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the story of what God has done. Okay? God has done it by His grace. Okay, that's the first thing. So be thinking about that. Just let that be in your mind so that when you hear somebody, you know, if you run into somebody that says, well, I go to church, and then you ask them like, well, great, that's wonderful. Can you tell me about your salvation experience, brother? I'd like to rejoice with you in that. And they say something like, well, I did this and I did that and I did another thing. And then you can be like, ding, 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 that's not the gospel. In the back of your mind, and you can steer it towards the gospel. Okay. So here are the things that need to kind of be there, the elements. Number one is that God is absolutely holy. That's where we start, right? We talked about that when we were looking at 1 John a few weeks ago, several weeks ago, that where we start is that not with God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We start with God is holy. God is a holy God. He's the creator. He is sovereign. And because He's the sovereign creator of every living thing on this earth, every human being, He has an absolute right to demand from us whatever He desires to demand from us. He has an absolute right to demand from us obedience. Okay, obedience to His law, obedience to the Ten Commandments, obedience to the Word of God. Okay, so that's the idea, obedience that is consistent with His character. That's where we've got to start, is God's holy. Okay, second thing then we need to bring out is that every man is sinful. All of us, every person is sinful. We're born that way. That is what we are. We are by nature rebels against God. Please be careful not to use stuff like, sin's an attitude against, it's not an attitude. It's not an attitude. It is rebellion against God, okay? It is to be an enemy with God. It's to be dead in our sins and under God's wrath. All of us are born under God's wrath. That's an important thing for people to understand. They need to understand that to be able to understand the necessity of the cross. Okay, so start with God is holy. And you talk about the fact that every man is sinful, including me, right? The third thing is that God has made the way for salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, here's the important thing that I want to get across tonight in this sense is lots of times when you hear people doing evangelistic presentations, they talk about the gospel, they talk about Jesus Christ, and they never define who He is. Just believe in this guy named Jesus and you'll be okay. Well, believe what? Well, just believe in Jesus. That doesn't help. You need to know who He is, right? So, who is He? Well, these are the things I think you need to talk about. You need to talk about Him being God's only Son. He is the incarnate God, the God in flesh, okay? That He is God. Second, that He is holy and perfectly sinless. That you need to establish the fact that Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of God in every respect. That, you know, although He was, you know, like us in human nature, and you know, though without sin, you need to establish the fact that He is perfectly sinless. You need to establish the fact that He died on the cross. And in dying on the cross, He satisfied the righteous demands of God's wrath by bearing God's wrath in the sinner's place on the cross to reconcile sinners to God, to make peace between God and sinners and to redeem them to Himself. Okay? He died to save sinners. That's the idea. I mean, that's a little more churchy language probably that I put there, but that he died in sinner's place to save sinners from the wrath of God. That he took on himself, he became sin for sinners. He took on himself the sin so that sinners could be made righteous through his sacrifice, so that sinners could be forgiven through his sacrifice and have his righteousness. And then last, underline this, that he rose from the dead. That he rose from the dead, that he ascended to heaven, and that he's going to return to judge. And that's the essence of the gospel, okay? Now, you could say it in a lot of different ways, but these are the things you need to think about and talk about and explain, okay? Fourth is this. This is from Acts 17:30. This is Paul. He demands that all men everywhere repent of sin and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord to be saved. Sinners must repent of sin and trust Christ, calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Okay? That's important. This is what it takes to be saved. Repent of your sin. Trust in Christ. Repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And then the last one is kind of this capstone of the whole thing, that we know that salvation is received by grace alone. It's a gift of God, okay? Through faith alone, right? Through faith that God gives to us to believe. In Christ alone, he's the only object of our faith. To the glory of God alone, God gets all the glory. So you don't have to say it in exactly these words, but these are the elements that need to be there in a gospel presentation, okay? So how are you going to get into it? How are you going to do it? All right, you're walking up to a door. Ding dong. Please don't let him be home. Please don't let him be home. Please don't let him be home. All right? Aren't you some of you are going to be thinking that. And then the door opens. You're like, step back and let the other person that's with you talk. Right? How are you going to get into it? What are you going to do? Let me tell you how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to do it. Hey, how you doing? My name's Nick Schaefer. This is my wife, Gretchen. These are our five children playing in your yard, tearing things up. No, or something. I won't say it like that. Right? But I'm just going to say, you know what, I want to first apologize to you for not having been here sooner. And I want to share with you something that's very important to me and I believe will be really important to you. And I'm going to have that Gospel of John in my hand, you know. And I'm going to start by saying I feel just totally impressed by God that I need to, that I'll figure out a way I'm going to say it. But something along the lines of, here, I got this Gospel of John, I want to give it to you and I want to tell you what it says. This is what it says. And you know what? Some people might go, so what? I don't care. They're going to look at me like, and they're going to be the kind of people, some of them, that when they see me coming down that road again, are going to be like, quick, get the kid and the dog inside now. Right? So what? I don't care what they think of me. I do care what they think about Christ. I do care what they think about Christ. Here's the thing. I want to cut through all the junk that we usually do. You know what I mean? Where we go up to the door and we do this whole, okay, I'm here to take a survey. But really what I'm going to do is try to share the gospel with you at the end. Do you think people don't see through that stuff? I'm going to suffer through these ridiculous questions that you're going to ask me that you're not even going to consider later on. And then you're going to hit me with some, I need to come to church thing. They know that. They're waiting for it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to show up and have false pretenses. I'm not there for any other reason but to share with them the gospel. That's it. That's why I'm there. I'm not there for any other reason. I'm not there to make note of how many toys are in their yard. I'm not there to make note of, you know, how nice their house is and what their addition might be to our bottom line at the budget at the church. I'm not there to ascertain their worth of hearing the gospel based upon where they work or how they dress. None of that stuff matters. None of it. I'm there to speak to them the gospel. That's what I'm there to do. And here's what I know. That if the Spirit of God is preceding me in that, and that if at the door that I'm going to, there is someone that is appointed to eternal life, how I start is not the issue. What I say to them is, you with me? How I start is not the issue. The issue is not like, how do I come up with a clever hook? I'm just going to start by saying, I want to share something with you that is absolutely essential to your well-being in your life. You need to hear this. And then I'm going to speak to them the gospel. I want to give you this. This is the Gospel of John. This is one of four Gospels written by men who were with Jesus Christ that explain why he came to earth. I want to tell you what you're going to find out when you read this, if you read this, if you will please read this. And this is what it tells us. This is what it says. Please read this. Here is my phone number. Here is the address of my church. Please call me if you have any questions. I'm not going to give them the church number. I'm going to give them my cell phone number. This is my number. As you're reading this, as you're thinking about it, if you have any questions, please call me. Don't hesitate. Don't think that you're going to interrupt me. I want you to call me. I am going to be blood earnest at the door. I'm not going to try to come up with some cutesy way of getting into the gospel. I'm just going to tell them the gospel. That's all I'm going to do. Because I don't have time to play those games. I just don't. It's too urgent. It is too urgent. But I am going to start by apologizing that I haven't been there sooner than now. I apologize to you that I'm part of a church that's been here for 50 years and we've never come and put the gospel of John in your hand and told you what the gospel is. But we're doing it today. Here's the gospel. Please think about this. Please consider this. Please, what I'm telling you, this has eternal implications. I believe this, beloved, if you go earnestly and you go with a certainty that I'm going to speak the gospel to these folks, they're not going to be like, I don't want to hear this from you. How often do you have earnest people come to your door that you turn away immediately? Doesn't happen, does it? Even listen to the Mormons for a couple of minutes. Don't you? Well, I mean, not anymore, but you know what I'm saying. Because, you know, it's like, how you doing? Uh-huh. When the JWs come, I take their stuff so they don't have any more to give out to somebody else down the road. You know. Thank you. Can I have extras? I got friends. You know. Appreciate it. You know, throw it out. So, I don't know if that helps you, but that's how I'm going to do it. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I want to give this to you, and I want to tell you what's in here. Would you mind if I told you what you're going to find out in this Gospel of John? And then I'm going to go into it. That's how I'm going to do it. You're welcome to copy that or try to come up with something clever. So,
did you guys want to say anything before we get started? Asking questions, anything?
I want to share a verse before we leave.
Oh, before we leave.
It may come up.
Okay. Question?
Those of us that are very nervous about doing this, are we going to be able to be with somebody who is not as nervous as we are?
Well, yeah. I mean, the hope is that we're going to try to pair people up with we're going to try to pair people up or put groups together with some people that are experienced in personal evangelism and others that aren't. But here's the thing. If we have a great, big, huge number, we may not be able to do that. You might just be on your own. I mean, hopefully not. But the idea is, look, just familiarize yourself with the gospel. Talk to people the gospel. Know that it relies, that you're relying upon the Spirit of the living God to make them alive, and just tell them the gospel. Oh no, there will be nobody alone by themselves. There will be at least a group of three. And we'll have a woman in each group so that if we come to a home in which there's a woman, you know, we don't want like three guys. Or, you know, I mean, or five guys or whatever, you know. But we don't want to make it unmanageable either. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, like, in our case, you know, we're going to have Gabe in a stroller and stuff. So, it'll probably just be me and Gretchen, Gabe, and a few of our kids. You know, and then probably that's how our group will go. But there will be other groups. I mean, we don't want it to be like, hey, there's 20 people on our front lawn. They're here to sing Christmas carols or something. You know, I mean, we don't want it to be that, so.
I guess we could look this up, but I need a scripture to prove to these people each of these points rather than just say, oh, take my word for it, it's in there.
No, I want you to do that on your own because I want you to make this your own. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say that. I want you to go through those points and go through the word of God on your own and make these your own. I mean, I could give you like verses, but I want you to do your own. I want you to, verses that you know well that apply to these, each of these points, you can do them yourself. I trust you. Should be able to do that. So that's why it's not there. Acts 17:30 though, for number 3 or 4 or whatever that is, that's a good one for you.
In the last 2 years, I've met a lot of people that, not a lot of people, but several people that said, I just don't believe in God. and I don't feel like I've done well as a Christian because I never got any response as to what happened in these individuals' lives. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, when I, you know, if you deal with somebody who says, I don't believe in God, I mean, that's a pretty difficult one to, you know, overcome in some ways. Usually, though, one place to go, and we've been talking about this today, is you go straight to the resurrection of Christ. I mean, that's fact. I mean, it's historical fact. You know, here's the case. We've got a guy who claimed to be God, who died on a cross, and whose body we cannot find. And the account that is historically accepted is that he rose from the dead. So what do you do with that? You got to do something with that. You got to have an answer for the resurrection. And, you know, it may be that you're not going to get somebody instantaneously to go, okay, well, I believe in God. It's probably not going to happen. So in those cases, you're going to have to make an investment in those lives. And well, I'd still invite them to read the Word of God. I would still invite them to read the Gospel of John. You know, I'd ask them how they know there's not a God. How are they certain of that? If there was a God, would he reveal himself? Yes. Well, here's his revelation. I mean, that's kind of how I'd go to it. Brett, you got anything you want to add to that?
Well, I took a class on the resurrection, on miracles by Dr. Gary Habermas at Liberty, who's one of the foremost apologists on the resurrection, and I have tons of books on that. I think I gave one. Is Mrs. Higginbotham in here? Is she in here somewhere? Okay, nursery, you have that book. It is an incredible book, but the resurrection is the central argument for us as Christians. They have to do something with that. So all thoughtful, I hate to say it that way, but if they're a thinker, then they'll think about that and have to disprove that in some way. But that is the central argument where we go to. So you can add on to this. So let's say somebody takes you to evolution and says, well, I believe in evolution. Well, that's great. What do you think about the resurrection? And go there first and say, okay, let's deal with the resurrection. And if you understand this, then we can consider Genesis 1. And let's deal with the central claims that surround the gospel. And then we can go here. Then we can go to, you know, God's word and the issues of authority, infallibility, and those things. But let's keep it on the resurrection. Let's deal with that issue and then go from there. But those are the central claims that people must wrestle with. Dr. Habermas, here's a story of just God's power. He was debating a guy named Anthony Flew, who used to be one of the foremost, you know, leaders of the atheist camp. And by debating him constantly on the resurrection, year after year, personal conversations, they would hang out and go out to dinner. His wife and he would go out to eat after debates. And finally, he talked to Anthony, and he calls him Tony, which I guess you can do that if you're really smart and you know other really smart guys. But they're on that kind of relationship, and he said, you know, what do you think? And he said, I'm a deist now. I mean, there's got to be some God, because I'm just tired of taking a beating by you. He was at one debate, and one of the atheists, the people in the audience who were atheists, who were like behind Anthony Flew the whole time, said he sounded more like a Christian than Dr. Habermas did. Because the resurrection is so powerful. It is such an argument that people must deal with. And so if that person is saying those things and you need resources on that, we will provide you with resources. The thing about this is it's not a one-time deal. It was nice to meet you. We might see you later. It's no, I will come back to you and speak with you more about these things. So if you have questions, I'll come back. I'm here. I live here. I live actually down the road from you. You know, so you'll see these people again, and we're here to serve them in that way. So we can do that. Any other questions? Raise your hand.
If somebody wants information about our church, if they ask for it, do we have a little... If somebody asks for information about our church, do we have a little pamphlet we can give them with our address and stuff?
We don't have any flyers for this Saturday. We'll print like, you know, West Salem Baptist Church on the inside of the Gospel of John and stuff, and you can talk to them about the church. I mean, here's the thing, you know, I don't want it to be about marketing the church. I mean, we want to speak the gospel, but here's the flip side of that. I certainly don't want to speak the gospel to somebody and have them go to a church that doesn't preach the gospel. So I don't think that we should be ashamed of where we go to church or like, we're not intending for you to go be secretive. Like, we're gonna be secretive about where we go to church kind of thing. It's not like your Amway representatives. Okay, that's not what we're trying to do. And talking about the business. You know, just call it what it is. It's okay to go and to talk about West Salem Baptist Church and invite them to the church. Please do that. We want them to, we don't want them to hear the gospel and then go somewhere where they're not going to hear the gospel. Certainly not. I mean, that would be foolish. So we don't want that to happen. So.
How about this for an opening line?
Hold on, I'm passing this one off.
We love you.
God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, a la Bill Bright and Campus Crusade. Won't work. That's the opposite of what you're telling them. What you're telling them is that God is holy and your life is an offense. Now, in terms of it being received by people, saying, oh, yeah, you're right, my life is an offense to the holy God and so on, that yeah, makes sense. It's a completely, it's not appealing. Not like God loves you.
No, the gospel's not appealing. It's not. It's not appealing to the natural man.
But the point is, this is the opposite of the Campus Crusade hook. Because God doesn't necessarily love them. And God doesn't necessarily have a wonderful plan for their life. I can't use that line.
God loves everyone in a common way. He loves His chosen in a particular way. Just as I love every woman in this congregation, but I love my wife particularly, uniquely.
I understand, but I just can't use that as a lead.
I can't say to this congregation, although I think I did once, that I did say this, but I didn't mean it like that. Never mind. My point is that I don't, to lead with that, it's a man-centered gospel. It really is. What we want to lead with is God being holy because He is. And here's the thing. The gospel is an offense to a natural man, but it's not an offense to a regenerate heart. And a regenerate heart is a monergistic, it's a singular work of the living God. He does it. He regenerates hearts and makes them receptive to the gospel. So we don't change the gospel. We pray for God to change hearts. Does that make sense? So what we're praying for tonight, after we get done, is we're praying for God to regenerate the hearts of the people to whom we are going to see, so that when we speak to them the gospel, they're not natural men anymore. They're regenerated. And when they hear the gospel, they hear it not as a general call to salvation, but as the effectual call of God that brings with it the faith to believe, and they respond in repentance and faith in Christ.
So it will be nonsense to most people. Unless the Lord has chosen to regenerate them, it'll
yes.
be nonsense.
Yeah. And the natural man, the gospel is an offense and a stumbling block, yes.
And virtually everybody is going to reject it. Most will reject it.
Not necessarily.
You don't know.
You can't make that correlation, no. I don't think you can.
It's folly to those who are perishing. But the power
it is
of
folly
God,
to those who are perishing, saved. But to those who are being saved is the power of God. What is it, Eddie? Hold on. Eddie has an answer.
No, it's 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is folly to the world. But to those who are being saved, it's the power and wisdom of God.
Next.
So the not many noble and the not many wise, which I think there's probably a plethora of in Salem, will respond. I mean, pardon? It's not a challenge for us. It's not up to us. It's God's work, and there's no heart that's too hard for God to break.
I think we're all evidence of that one.
Huh?
I said we're all evidence of that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next question.
Do you have the logistics worked out so 6 or 7 different groups don't go to the same house?
Yes, we will have...
I'd hate to be the last guy.
We will have... say again?
He said he would hate to be the last guy.
You'd hate to be number 7? You just might get to reap the harvest after 6 other people in front of you sow the seed, bro. You never know. Yeah, we will have it. We'll have it so that we don't... we'll have it so that maybe one team is responsible for this street and another, or we'll do it like that. Here's the truth. In 2 hours, you're not going to get to 15 homes. You're not. I mean, maybe you will, but most likely... In 2 hours, you're going to get to maybe 6 homes. Because talking about the gospel is going to take a little while. And or maybe more, maybe 8, maybe 15 minutes a house. I don't know. Is that right? I don't know. Or maybe 12. Who knows? I mean, I don't know how many we'll make. But yeah, we'll make sure that we don't have, like, you know, you go into a house and then Marshall comes like 5 minutes later to that same house. And I mean, we won't do it like that. We'll make sure that, it's split up.
Any other questions?
And we'll have communication between teams. I mean, you know, it's so like maybe we'll put like an X on a door when we've gone to it, like the hurricane thing. You know, we've gone there. You know, blood over the lintel and doorposts.
Another one. All right, you've almost met your quota.
Okay, I need help with this.
Why don't you just leave the microphone with Darnell? I think she's got a lot of. No, go ahead.
And I need help with this because I don't mind sharing the gospel. I take joy in sharing the gospel with people that I have some kind of relationship with. And, you know, I have all kinds of props that I do. But I was a preacher's kid and didn't get saved till I was 31. And it wasn't because people weren't calling my phone and knocking on my door. So the resistance I have, the problem I'm having to overcome internally here is, and it may not relate to anybody else in this whole place, but I really resented, as a non-Christian, strangers knocking on my door and people calling me on the phone and saying, "Hello, my name is Ed Jones. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?" And my response would be, "Who are you and where did you get my number and what business of it is yours?" Click or slam, whatever, came, whichever way they came in.
You answered your own question. You weren't yeah. You were natural.
Well, yes, I know, but
you're unregenerate.
The approach was terrible. Relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm sorry. The approach was terrible.
Okay, so don't use that approach. I mean, here's the thing. We can give a variety of excuses for why not to preach the gospel and why not to speak it. I mean, we all can. Everybody can give a horror story for, you know, hearing somebody talk to them about the gospel and they did a horrible job. But you know what?
Yeah, Will Metzger in his book, Tell the Truth, talks about proclaiming the whole gospel to the whole person. He says, one of the things we've done with the gospel is we have made the gospel, we've proclaimed it to impersonal souls instead of the person. And he makes that point in his book of proclaiming the gospel to the person as the whole gospel to the whole person, and finding people interesting. Piper did a message one time and he was talking about one of his points was find people interesting. Find the ministers, talk to them. It's not a matter of you're just speaking to an impersonal soul. This is a person. Approach them as a person. Find them interesting. Get to know them through your conversation, but go with the aim of sharing the gospel and share the gospel.
Well, but I think I have to establish some kind of rapport first. I mean, maybe 1 minute, maybe 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, but I
Right. Next question.
Hold on a second. I think here's the thing. It's like I said before. You're going to engage somebody. Here's the thing. If I'm trying to come up with some cutesy way of approaching somebody and getting them off guard, I'm treating them already not as a human being. I'm treating them as a machine that if I press the right buttons, they're going to like me. And you know what? That's the thing, the impersonal nature of that. I don't even want to get into that. I mean, I don't want to get into the whole thing of baiting and switching and all that other stuff. I mean, if you feel the need to establish some kind of like, yeah, I mean, like, but here's the thing, you know, it's almost artificial. It's like, hey, I see you have, you know, a big wheel in the car, or a big wheel in your yard. How many little kids do you have? I mean, do you really care about that? I mean, do you really? I mean, here's the truth. People will see insincerity and sniff it out in a heartbeat. The rapport that you have with somebody is, I'm a sinner and so are you. That's the rapport. I'm a sinner and so are you. I was lost and I don't want you to be lost. I care enough about your soul to come here and have you think me a fool to speak to you the gospel. That's how much I care about your soul. It doesn't matter what you think of me. Because here's the truth. In reality, us wanting to have some cute way of getting into it with somebody is a way to protect ourselves from rejection. Listen to me. You can't protect yourself from rejection. You can't do it. And it's not you that's being rejected. It's Christ that's being rejected. And I fear sometimes that what we try to do by trying to be so like, I don't know, like used car salesman-ish when we see people and talk to them is, we give them a reason to reject us immediately. You're insincere, and I don't want to hear anything you have to say. If I come to you and say, you know what? I am truly sorry that I have not been here sooner. I want to give you this because it's a matter of life for you. I want to give this to you. This is the Gospel of John. It is a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. I would love for you to read this. And if you have any questions, you please call me. My number is in here. But this is what I want to tell you. This is what you're going to find in here. And you tell them, is there any questions that I can answer for you? Let them interject, whatever. I just think, if somebody comes up and they're immediately asking me questions about my children whom they don't know, and it's like, dude, why are you here? Why are you really here? Why are you at my house? I know, but what I'm saying is trying to establish, it's an artificial rapport. The only rapport you have with somebody you don't know is that you're a sinner and so are they. That's the rapport you have. Well, I'm sure that when you offer them the Gospel of John, if they're saved, they're going to say, hey man, I'm already saved. I know Jesus Christ. That'll probably happen. I mean, if somebody tried to give me a Gospel of John at my house, I'd be like, hey, thanks, but you know what? Why don't you keep this for somebody else? Because I already know Christ. I appreciate it, though. Thank you so much for coming out here. Where did you say you're from? That's probably how I'd respond. I mean, somebody who's saved is going to respond like that. And that's how it's going to be. Now, if they say, well, I go to church, then my response will be, well, that's great. That's super. Where do you go to church? Do you know Christ as your Savior? I mean, then you can go into those kinds of things. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that I'm just going to steamroll through that immediately as I get there. I'm going to respond to people. I'm going to respond as they talk to me. And I'm not going to speak without stopping for a breath so that they, you know, so that they stand there and go, ah. Right? I'm not going to do that. Right? And I'm going to respond to people as they talk. I'm going to listen. See, I think that's what I want to avoid is us doing the canned thing where you don't listen. Where immediately you're just trying to get through your presentation. You're going to steamroll through it and somebody says something and you just go, wow, rather than responding to it. So you had your hand up. Hold on.
It's not on.
Oh, there you are. I think you're on.
Now you're on. You know, I think there's no shame in sitting at the door with earth. You know, I know you have no idea who I am, but I'm standing through the door because I am concerned for your soul. If your house was on fire, would you want me to tell you? I am urging you to consider the claims of Jesus Christ in this gospel. I am urging you to consider. That's it. You can just say, I know you don't know me, but I am concerned about you. That's it.
Yeah, let's make sure we let the Word of God dictate our approach instead of our subjective pet peeves or past experiences, which I'm sure we've all had those. And so if that's what we go and we're trying to formulate it around that, let's go to the Word of God and let that be our standard. Let's let God's Word dictate how we proclaim the gospel. And remember the things that Dever instructed us so wisely on. You know, honest, urgent, joyful, and Pastor Nick added humble. And do those. And you find the way to do that. It's not like we're saying, this must be the exact way you do this. And if you don't say it just like this, then, you know, you're not being honest. The key is honesty. I think that's probably where it's been abused so much. It's just in the dishonesty of it all. And so let's just be honest from the get-go and however you want to be honest with them. Through apology, through concern, through whatever else. But make sure those elements are there and you're not neglecting one of those.
And two, I think the most effective thing that we can do for Saturday morning for ourselves is to pray for God to give us a broken heart for the lost.
Yes.
I mean, honestly. Because here's the thing. All of the bad experiences that we've had with somebody with the gospel usually boil down to this. I felt like they were completely insincere. Right? They were just doing a thing they felt like they were obligated to do. You know what? If you feel like that, don't go. Don't. If it feels like, well, this is just a burden and I got to do this because, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay home. Or come to the church and watch kids for the people that are going or something. Or come to the church and pray or fix lunch for the people that are coming back at 12:30 or whatever. But honestly, I mean, if someone came to your door and was earnestly concerned for you, I mean, really was, not was, wasn't putting it on, you'd listen to them. You'd listen. You would listen. Eddie, you want to say something? Hold on.
I just want to share a verse with you that has really helped me, because I really struggle with, you know, when God called me into the ministry, I was like, I guess I was kind of like Moses, you know. I'm just a plain old country boy from, what did you say, Ben? Tuckahoma Swamp or something. And working with Vocabulary Man, you know, I'm simple guy. And I struggle a lot of times when I have to preach and when I teach, and sometimes I struggle, I find myself struggling with, what kind of fancy words do I have to use? What kind of presentation do I have to use to get the point across? And that's just doubting the sufficiency of God. It's doubting the sufficiency of the Word. And so this verse is just one that's dear to my heart, and I'm going to share it with you. It's 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. It ain't my words. It's God's words. And it's not my presentation. It's God's word. And the gospel is the power and the wisdom of God. Just rely on the Holy Spirit. Just let your heart pour out. That's all you got to do. You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to use the word persnickety. Just be who you are and be simple.
Hello. Okay, this is more of a probably a statement than a question, but I would encourage some real thought to be given into who's on whose teams. And the reason I say that, I'll take it from my own perspective. As someone who has fairly new to being saved and having my salvation assured, I have no fear whatsoever in going up and speaking to strangers. I do it all the time. I've done it in every career I've ever been in my whole life. But there is real fear among people that they will get into someone's home who knows a bit more or can attack them from an angle that they're not prepared for. And I'm not saying that you have to be defensive. That's certainly not what I'm saying. And if you don't know the answer, the best thing you can say is, I don't know, but I will find out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll be back.
But if you can make the point of teaming up people who are more experienced with people who have somewhat less experience, you're going to do two things. You're going to assure the less experienced people that it's okay. And you're also, not only are you going to do that, they're going to be more inclined to help. And the less experienced people are also going to be growing in their faith and their ministry, I guess, as they continue to do this. So what you're doing is, you're not only are you doing what your initial thing is, but you're growing evangelism, so to speak. Anyway, this is the thought.
What we're going to do tonight is, after we pray, if you feel led to lead a group, we want you to come down and share that with us so that we'll know how many leaders we're going to have and how many groups we're going to have and so forth, and that will help us Saturday morning. So if you feel led, and if you feel, like you said, that it's easy for you and it's normal for you, come down. We want you to let us know that so we can put you with people that may not feel the same way. So if you feel led to do that, please let us know.
Al, you bring up another point real quick that I want to touch on. You may get in a situation, it may happen, where you're in somebody's house, if you get into somebody's house, and you're sitting there talking to them, and they ask you a question that you've got no clue how to answer. Right? Has anybody ever been in that position before? Okay. Here's what you do. You don't try to make something up on the fly. Okay? That's how you get into big trouble. Don't do that. Okay? Instead, you very humbly say, you know what? I'm not sure that I have an answer for you right now for that, but I will find out, and I'll come back. I'll come back and talk to you. If you'll give me your phone number, I'll call you. I'll come back, and I'll tell you. I'll give you an answer to that. I don't have an answer for you right now. That's okay. You can do that. In fact, you should do that. That's okay. Plus, it gives you get your foot in the door to come back.
Two things. If we do that, then we need to be sure that we have paper and pencil to write down their question.
Yeah.
And then that way we can get their answer and get back to them. The other thing is, are we definitely going to have people here praying while we are out in the community?
Yeah, because if we have an overabundance of people who are fearful, that we can't team up with people that are confident in leading a team, then we will want those folks to stick around here and pray. Or we might swap out halfway through or something like that. But yeah, I think we need to have that for certain.
Testing. There are a couple of things that sort of flashed across my mind. Fear not, I think that's from Isaiah. Fear not, for I am with you. And the other is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's not because I'm the baddest.
It's not going to be that bad, right?
It's not because I'm the baddest man in the valley. No, but that's going on to this. I've been at another church. I went out several times, and they had us play out in our own minds worst-case scenarios. You know, you have someone who's receptive and maybe even enthusiastic. You may have someone who is lukewarm. You may have someone who is indifferent, and then you may have someone who goes all the way from cold to hostile. And I'm playing out in my head, I have someone who orders me off their property right away. That happened. I have another person who cursed me, or a person who slammed the door and threatened to call the police, and I was I was infringing on their privacy and so forth. Well, we know also that blessed are you when men revile you and scorn you for my name's sake.
Amen.
And so I'm not really afraid of having a door slammed on in my face or having someone curse me. That type of rejection, I mean, you know, that's just a part of the territory. You're not going to get as much of that as you might think. You may get a little bit more, but chances are you won't. Chances are most people are going to be anywhere from, you know, receptive to mildly indifferent, and they're still going to talk to you and not give you a hard time or order you off their property or, you know, be hostile to you. As I say, that may happen. But all I can offer people who are a little edgy, a little nervous, is that is what you've just been saying all along, is you're going out, you're constantly in the spirit, you're in prayer as you go from house to house, as you're walking down the sidewalk or whatever in the neighborhood where you are, and whether you're in support behind the person who's knocking on the door or what have you, but you're always, as much as you possibly can, seeking the Lord's face, seeking His will in your heart, keeping your mind and your eyes open, keeping your ears open to listen, to love, and don't forget about the love of God. The holiness and the sovereignty of the Lord, yes, but the love of God.
This is how we know His love, that Christ laid down His life. That's it. It's God is centered, in the cross. Worst case scenario? Best case scenario is you get shot and killed and you're in heaven. I mean, really? I mean, think about that. What's the worst thing that could possibly happen? I see Jesus face to face. Great. I mean, you know, we'll mourn you, but we'll be a little jealous, too, that you're there. So, I mean, let me just say this real quick. Last time that we went, we kind of did like a prayer walk through the neighborhood about a year ago or 2 years ago. We had one person slam the door in our face. That was Brett and me. That was to Brett and I, and he looked kind of scary then. So that's probably why that happened. So that's probably not going to happen. Maybe it will.
Closing words of confession.
from someone who has in the past never believed in the surety of the gospel to save someone. For someone who stood on their own testimony more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. From someone who was willing to go to a house and ask if they had a prayer request rather than share the gospel with them. This is urgent. We're in the end times. Share passionately as you go. Closing verse, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Again, the gospel will do the work. Proclaim it. Don't hide it. Don't mealy-mouth it. You're there to proclaim it. Is that like persnickety? Sorry.
Yeah, I like mealy-mouth. That's good.
So, God's gone out before us. We've been praying for weeks and months, and we're going into prayer right now. He'll till the soil. We're just going to go sow the seed.
All right. Prayer groups?
Yeah.
Okay, if you will get...
Currently, when you're done praying, you can pray.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. If you want to lead, come down.
Yes, if you want to lead one of those groups, please come forward and talk to us about that. But if you would get in groups right now and pray about this, pray that the Holy Spirit would go before us, that God would prepare hearts and till the soil in those hearts so that our words will be received with joy.